Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
But let's continue the show. We're going to be talking SAA now. And according to a report in the Business Day, National Airlines South African Airways has submitted a five-year, two-phase corporate turnaround plan to the government, which could see it going to the market for a 2.25 billion rand investment facility and seeking a strategic equity partner. This is quite interesting because we did see that the previous a move to get an equity partner, Takatso Consortium, that fell through. So what exactly is the plan here? Business Day says that it has actually seen this this plan that was submitted to government. But, you know, will it actually work? How does this two-phase corporate turnaround actually work? Joining me now is Sean Mendes. He's an aviation analyst. Just to take us through and give us a better understanding of what could possibly be happening here with SAA. A very good evening to you, Sean. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Sean, just what are the key elements of this two-phase turnaround plan submitted by SAA?
Well, for starters, none of this has been officially released or anything. We're just dealing with leaks and, you know, various statements that SAA management has made. But for the most part, SAA management have been pretty clear about what their strategy is going to be as they seek to rebuild the airline. Their initial focus, which is currently the phase that they're in, is a primary focus on African markets. So they've been looking at rebuilding their domestic market share, growth into the regional markets in SADC, where they've been increasing frequencies, increasing the markets they're serving, and a slow growth now into intercontinental, where they've started flights to Brazil, they've started flights to Australia. They have made it clear that part of their growth, whether that is included in this plan or whether that is something that's happening before this plan goes into effect, is they will be taking some more long-haul aircraft this year, some of Airbus 330-300s, an additional one or two this year, which will be used to increase their services to Ghana and Nigeria, which are currently at four times a week each. They're looking at taking them both up to daily services. So the focus for now has been primarily on African markets, but with additional capitalization, they supposedly are looking at expanding back into North America, Europe, and potentially other intercontinental markets as well.
Well, towards the end of last year, the SAA released results. It was the first profit that came in at $14 million, with group revenue up 183% for the 2022-23 financial year. Right, the airline managed to make a couple of changes, but it's also had a long troubled history with bailouts and mismanagement. How credible do we think that this turnaround plan is going to be? I know that we're not privy to what's in this plan as yet, but just looking at what we're seeing right now in terms of the leaks, what do you think?
Well, I think SAA is suffering very much from a boy who cried wolf syndrome. They made a lot of claims of grandeur over the years that I think a lot of people are skeptical about their financial results they've announced until they're actually able to table the audited accounts, not just for this last year, but for multiple years, which have been pending. If a private company had done this, they would have been hauled up in front of the various authorities for non-compliance. But SAA is a special situation, for better or for worse. And consequently, despite their claims, I think a lot of people would want to have a look at what the details of those so-called profitability figures were. And I think that also is going to affect them in terms of attracting serious potential partners due to the history of the easiest way to describe it would be a boondoggle with the Takatso Consortium. I mean, the Takatso Consortium to begin with was largely something that was funded by government money. Yes, certainly through a bunch of different entities, some of which were nominally independent, but it was essentially the government putting money up for itself to buy a share of its own asset through a private partner, and the government could not even reach agreement on that. So I think a big challenge that SAA is going to face, given their troubled history, as you said, is for a partner to believe that the government is actually serious about seeking a partner this time and not just paying lip service to it as they had in the past case, which, remember, SAA emerged from a business rescue plan solely because the plan that they submitted to the court was that they would have an equity partner, namely Takatso, coming in and recapitalizing them. That has fallen by the wayside, but their business rescue has not yet been revisited. So there are, you know, there is a lot of gray area ongoing over here in terms of SAA's credibility and history, and, you know, whether that will deter potential partners for coming on board is to be seen.
I mean, it's also a gray area in the sense that, do they actually want a partner? Because this has been a problem for a very long time. Government has always, as the owner, has always said that they don't want any sort of privatization in this airline. And then you had Takatso coming in, which was a bit of a surprise. That, of course, fell through, and many weren't surprised that it actually did fall through. When I spoke to CEO Professor John Lamola last year, he said that they weren't looking at any equity partners just yet. So I think the point is, are you actually going to be looking at this strategy that we speculating about, the one that's been given to government, it says that it includes a partner, but is it really going to happen?
I think Prof Lamola, you know, he's absolutely right. I think, you know, Prof has made his views in general on government involvement in the transportation sector, even before he was involved with SAA, rather clear. You know, he's written a lot of op-eds and, you know, he's taught extensively. He's a believer that government should be more involved with this. However, he's also a pragmatist. And I think, you know, one of the clearest statements he's made is that SAA cannot expand without capitalization. At present, all of SAA's growth is coming on the back of its cash flow. And that is no way that you can really build a business, especially not in the aviation business, where, you know, a small change in fortunes, you know, let alone something like COVID or similar, can wipe out your cash flow overnight. So I think SAA needs to have a strong equity injection. Their choices here are obviously to get that equity injection from government, who is currently the 100% shareholder, or to get it from the private sector. Government has made it clear as government can ever make it, that there will not be any further capitalization or bailouts for SAA, which means the only real option for them is going to be, to seek a partner in from the private sector. So despite Prof's views that he probably does not want this, and I don't for a moment doubt that Prof does not want a private partner, I think he also realizes that as CEO of the airline, if he needs capital, it's going to have to come from the private sector, as government supposedly has turned off the taps.
If this is the only way to go and you have to get an equity partner, and you say that, who's going to want to actually trust them enough to get on board or to get in bed with them? What would be the ideal profile of a strategic equity partner? I mean, where would they go out to go and look for that partner? We know the last one, Takatso Consortium, there was involvement of the late Praveen Gordhan, the Department of Enterprises Minister. He went and pulled in the Takatso Consortium. What happens now? Where would they go?
I think there are different options. I mean, they could look in terms of a purely financial partner. They could look in terms of another airline as a partner. You know, there's been talk about under the previous administration of President Kenyatta in Kenya of a closer relationship and a potential semi-merger between SAA and Kenya Airways and so forth. But I think whatever options exist, any strong partner, so that's a partner who's actually coming in for commercial reasons as opposed to one who may be, you know, using it as a gateway to curry favor with the government or a political party. But any strong and serious partner is going to have, if not majority control, but definitely a level of say on key issues, which is something that government has historically not been willing to surrender. So I think, you know, it will definitely have to see government willing. And this was something even in the Takatso case, where government's potential shareholder agreement with Takatso, from what we hear, included a golden share, where government would have veto rights in certain decisions of the airline, despite Takatso nominally taking on a majority stake. So it will be difficult for SAA under the current lack of clarity of government's long-term objective for the airline to attract a serious partner. I know in Ethiopian Airlines, they when SAA was looking for a partner in business rescue, they were very clear that they were interested. But one of the conditions they had for coming on board was that they needed to have control. And, you know, the government of South Africa said a flat out no to that. And I do not see how that will change, especially given the current controversies over SAFAIR's potential foreign ownership. And, you know, if a foreign partner were to come into partner SAA, that could open up a can of worms that I don't think anybody really wants to deal with. So their hands are tied in terms of who could potentially be a partner and what that partner could bring to the table.
But what does it look like in terms of the market and where it fits in here? I mean, I would think that it's an opportune time. We don't have many airlines on the ground at the moment. And we also don't know what's happening with its low-cost carrier, Mango. Is it an opportune time? Should it get its house in order? If it can get going again, and get this equity partner, would it be a good time for it to capitalize, so to say, on this market space?
Well, for the first point, let's be under no illusions about Mango. Mango is dead and gone, and it is not coming back. The brand name may be sold to someone else to start up again, but Mango as it stands is finished. So, you know, that part can be written off. But yes, there is definitely a opportunity in the South African market, because if you look at the two other big players, which are SAFAIR and Airlink, both of them have taken up niches which are very different from what South African Airways is looking to exploit, or at least grow into. Fly SAFAIR is very unapologetically a low-cost carrier. Their goal is all economy class, high-density aircraft, high frequency on, you know, on trunk routes like Johannesburg, Cape Town every hour, Johannesburg, Durban 20 times a day. And that is, you know, that is their market. They are effectively challenging the buses as a means of mass transportation, you know, within South Africa, and just dipping their toes into the regional markets. Airlink, on the other hand, is a very different model. Airlink is smaller aircraft, but seeking to serve secondary markets and seeking to go wider within the SADC region. So, you know, Airlink has 50-seater planes as opposed to and above, but starting at 50-seaters, give or take, relative to SAFAIR's 150-seaters. And Airlink has a much wider network, serving Malawi, serving Namibia, Mozambique, Madagascar, Kenya, you know, pretty much everywhere in the southern and eastern African region as well. South African Airways, however, is looking at occupying a network carrier space. They're looking at being a full service, so offering a business class as well as an economy class, and looking at serving domestic, regional, and long haul. So this is the traditional legacy carrier model, you know, what British Airways is doing in the UK, what Lufthansa is doing in Germany, what the US carriers do, is to serve all of it. And South African Airways had been successful in the past exploiting this. They're looking at growing back into that niche. Now, there will be commercial challenges with it. You know, it's hard to break back into the domestic market with this model, given Fly SAFAIR's dominance. It's going to be hard to break into a regional market with, you know, with planes the size SAA has when you're competing against the smaller planes of Airlink. Airlink as well has sold 25% of its ownership to Qatar Airways, which means that even though Airlink itself is a smaller airline, potentially Airlink's ownership group may have a strategic plan to, you know, to occupy that kind of a niche in Southern Africa as well. So there will be challenges for SAA, but I think it's pretty clear what they're looking to do, and even to some extent how they're looking to do it. I think the jury is out on whether they will be successful in achieving that or not, given a lot of the constraints and baggage that, you know, that SAA version 1 as well as the current SAA version 2 are saddled with.
Well, it really needs to shake off that reputation that it's built over time. And I think the big concern for people on the ground, taxpayers, how do they fit into this equation? Because this is still a state-owned entity, and we know that even though government has said that there will be no bailouts, how will this be structured, and where will the money come from? Considering even if they get an equity partner or if they don't get an equity partner, I think taxpayers are just worried about how much more is going to be given to SAA in the future.
Absolutely. And the reality is that there has never been a successful airline which has been controlled by government. Government may have ownership stakes, but often surrenders control to professional management. We've seen that with Ethiopian Airlines in an African context. We've seen that with Emirates in a wider global context. But when you look in terms of a government who tries to actually tell an airline how it should run and what its objectives should be commercially, that always ends in tears. And, you know, we've seen it in SAA's case. We've seen it in Air Namibia. We've seen that in LAM Mozambique, with Kenya Airways, Rwanda, all of these, if not shut down, have become never-ending pits for taxpayers' money. So government has to be hands-off. They can retain an ownership stake. They may even provide some sort of, you know, commercial-type financing, whether that's going to be, you know, guaranteeing loans from commercial lenders, whether that's going to be, you know, some sort of guarantees for export financing in case new aircraft are ordered, things as such. You know, those are things which government offers not just to their chosen national champions, but to an industry as a whole. And I think that's important. I think if the government focused on supporting the industry and improving the industry's infrastructure, because the general aviation infrastructure in South Africa, whether that is everything from, you know, air traffic control down to weather forecasting, is hanging on by a shoestring. It's falling apart at the seams. And government should be looking more in terms of investing in improving that infrastructure for the benefit of not just SAA, but every airline, domestic and international, flying in SAA. Rather than, you know, just looking at subsidizing and throwing good money after bad if SAA were to start getting into deep losses again. So investment is more important, I think, than subsidy. And I think that is where things have to change in terms of the way government treats South African Airways.
This is a tough ask. And do you think that Professor Lamola is able to convince them to let go?
I think Prof is a unique situation where he is an avowed socialist who is running a capitalist organization. And I think that is going to put him in a position where he can make an argument that cannot be shot down on ideological grounds by some of the more socialist-leaning members in government. So I think Prof is probably the right person to be in that role at this time. He's got... he's a survivor. He came in as the chairman of the board. He came acting CEO and now has been confirmed as CEO. So obviously he's got the years of the right people in government. And if you are going to put somebody in a role and expect them to be successful, you've got to give them the tools to be successful. So I sincerely hope that he's made his acceptance of the permanent appointment to CEO of SAA for, you know, I think it's a 2-year contract initially, contingent upon the government, you know, giving the necessary backing, whether that's going to be in terms of divesting a stake, whether it's going to be in terms of guarantees or whatever else. But I also don't think that, given the political situation with the government of national unity, that the government will ever be in a position to provide direct funds to South African Airways. I think, the political equation between the ANC and the other parties in the GNU as it stands right now will just not allow that to become a reality. So it's a tightrope he's going to need to walk, but I think he's definitely got a plan. And, you know, everyone who supports SAA, even if though we're critical of it, you know, sincerely hopes that he can pull it off.
Well, we wish him luck. Thank you so much, Sean. Always great to talk to you. Sean Mendes, aviation expert, talking to us about SAA.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.